You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Man, a lot can happen in a week. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. My name is Matt George, speaking to you for the first time since a couple of weeks ago, and a lot has taken place. Normally, we get things going on a Monday. Instead, we had to delay that podcast until today because we had some news and some breaking stuff that we were waiting to happen. It did happen, and I am here to provide that for you here today on the Locked On Kings podcast. For those of you who are new, welcome in. My thanks to Charles T. Hamilton for doing a fantastic job last week, and I think he also played a snippet or two of our conversation that we had when the Zach LaVine news broke when we were on the KHDK airwaves covering for Grant Napier and Doug Christie on the Grant Napier show. You can also listen to Charles and I on KHDK if you are in the Sacramento area or if you have the KHDK app. We will be hosting the morning show on Thursday and Friday of this week from 6 to 9 a.m. on KHDK. We'll get into more of that in greater detail later on, but for those of you who are new who don't know, my name is Matt George. I am an on-air personality and a multimedia journalist for Sports 1140 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings, and we have been talking a lot of Kings basketball all this week and all last week. It was a great week last week here in Sacramento with the first annual California Classic, at least I hope it's annual, California Classic that happened here, the three-day summer league tournament inside of the Golden 1 Center. That was an absolute success. I got the chance to meet a lot of you out there and shake your hand, introduce myself, and I get to meet with you and speak with you face-to-face, and I'm so thankful and grateful for all of you who did take the time to come and see me and chat with me and all the great and bad things you had to say about this podcast. We appreciate any feedback that we can get. We're going to dive into my thoughts on the California Classic here in just a second. That's actually not what we're going to focus on mainly here today. We're going to talk a lot about Marvin Bagley, the good and the bad. We'll talk about his California Classic and then the recent injury news. And I'll provide, I think, some welcome news for those of you who haven't seen the update yet on Marvin Bagley's injury that he suffered in Game 1 of Summer League in Las Vegas. We're going to touch on all that a lot more. Same things with his strengths and weaknesses. We might touch on the Zach LaVine stuff that happened at the very, very end of the podcast. The podcast tomorrow is going to be very heavy on the free agency talk, all the rumors and potential guys that the Sacramento Kings may go out and nab. My gut feeling, we're very close to something happening here. I believe by the end of this week, the Sacramento Kings will have a new signing on their roster. Those are just my feelings. I could be wrong, but I'll be anxious to hear your thoughts on that as well. Also, we got to touch on LeBron James going to the Los Angeles Lakers, the team that I actually didn't expect him to go to. I kind of went against the grain a little bit because I wanted and I expected LeBron to potentially go to Philadelphia or to stay in the East to take the easier road to the NBA Finals. If winning rings is really what it's about, going to the West maybe isn't the best plan, but clearly he made a family decision sticking in LA and going with the Lakers. We'll touch on that at the very end of the show as well. But the California Classic happened here in Sacramento. A tremendous success, sold out every single day, over 50,000 tickets sold for the three-day event. Also, you had a live concert from Little John on the second day, which was Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, on Tuesday, because Wednesday was 4th of July. I hope everybody had a great and safe and fun and exploding 4th of July as well. On the 3rd, Little John had a concert inside the DoCo Downtown Commons, and it was pretty awesome to see. It gave you a brief glimpse of how amazing that Commons can be and how exciting and how much a party it will be when the Sacramento Kings eventually make it back to the playoffs, which is hopefully very, very soon here. But the California Classic was a tremendous success. Let's talk about the most fun game, which was the first game against the Los Angeles Lakers. De'Aaron Fox was phenomenal, had 22 points in that game, was clearly the best player on the floor. Mo Wagner for the Los Angeles Lakers was the second best. He played very, very well, was very impressed by him. I think the Lakers got a great steal there late in the first round with Wagner, who at times was even pinged to be a second round pick, which I'm not surprised at all that he didn't slide that far. But they certainly have a good piece to work into their core there in LA in Wagner. But I'll tell you this about De'Aaron Fox. The thing I was most excited to see about him in that game, well, there are two things. First off was he clearly looked leaps and bounds better than everybody else on that floor. And that's exactly what you want to see out of a starting point guard heading into his second year, who you want to be your star and your centerpiece going forward. De'Aaron Fox looked like it was easy for him out there because it was easy for him out there because he was better and smarter than everybody on the floor. And I can tell you, look at the growth for De'Aaron Fox from the start of last season to the start of this season. Just for running the offense. I mean, it's incredible. When we started last year, Frank Mason was a better point guard and facilitator and floor general than De'Aaron Fox was because the game was a little too fast for Fox. Fox was still developing a little bit of a basketball IQ. Not saying he didn't have one then, but he was learning and growing as to how to run an NBA offense. And then you come into this summer league and he's running it perfectly. Everybody is benefiting from his play on the floor, including Marvin Bagley, which we'll talk about. He's pushing the tempo, which was my second favorite thing. De'Aaron Fox on the floor forced that team to run, and everybody on that young roster ran, and it was phenomenal to see. I love De'Aaron Fox as that floor general, as someone who, he said it himself, he wants to be like Chris Paul, commanding his players to do things, and they follow suit and listen and trust him as their leader, and they certainly did that. Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles had some great things to say about De'Aaron and his play following that game. Of course, that was the only game that De'Aaron did play. He did suffer some Achilles soreness, he said, so he did not play in games 2 and 3, and then, of course, did not play in summer league. But in reality, he didn't need to. He showed us what we needed to see in game 1, and in reality, he was just risking, honestly, injury playing in games 2 and 3. The only thing I would have liked to see more of is him spending more time alongside Harry Giles and Marvin Bagley, because I don't think it's a secret that their best games were when he was on the floor. Marvin Bagley had that phenomenal dunk over Mo Wagner that everybody really enjoyed. That moment inside the Golden 1 Center was a lot of fun, and I encourage you can see videos and hear audio of that everywhere. Go and check that out. I watch it almost on a loop because it was just such an exciting and fun moment. A good introduction of Marvin Bagley to the Sacramento Kings fan base and community. Harry Giles being healthy is so cool to see. I mean, him taking bumps, one of the things he said in that first game, he looked really good in game 3 as well, but in that first game afterwards, one of the things he said that I loved, he said, I got kind of hit in the lip and got my lip busted a little bit, and that's what I wanted. I wanted to be tested, I wanted to be pushed around, and I wanted to make sure that I knew that I could stick on the floor and be healthy, and he did that. So you could see maybe some little tentativeness in games 1 and 2, and then in game 3, and then so far throughout this summer league in Vegas, that seems to worn off, and he's fearlessly attacking the ball on both ends of the floor. I've been very impressed with his screen setting on offense, but his defense overall has been very impressive to me. Creates great energy on the defensive end of the floor, communicates really well, fires his guys up, rotates very well, doesn't leave his feet unless he absolutely has to, so he avoids silly fouls. I've been very impressed with the defensive IQ of Harry Giles, and I hope to see that grow and continue as we go forward. Offensively, you can still see there are things to work on for him, but nothing that some time cannot fix. Harry Giles healthy is a good thing for the Sacramento Kings. Frank Mason was the major negative for me, and that's because we saw pretty clearly once De'Aaron Fox didn't play in games 2 and 3 of the California Classic, there was a significant drop-off in the execution of the starters, and a lot of that I put on Frank Mason. Frank struggled to run the offense. Let's put it bluntly, Frank is a really good scoring guard off the bench that can provide you with 10 points and maybe 15 minutes of action, but he's not a very good floor general, not a very good facilitator, and he admitted it himself that he struggled to get his guys into good spots and get them open and get them the ball and execute. So Frank Mason is a little concerning as your backup point guard if you're looking for a playmaker. However, with the main roster and Bogdan Bogdanovic, if the Kings like to rotate De'Aaron out and rest him and bring Bogdanovic in or have him run the point and really be that or continue to have Frank Mason at the point but run the ball through Bogdan Bogdanovic, you have options there. So it's certainly not the end of the world. Finally, Justin Jackson, only 5 points in 33 minutes, I believe, in the first game of the California Classic. Everybody was doom and gloom, really low on him. Since then, he's been phenomenal. Two fantastic offensive games to end the California Classic. Then he had a 28-point performance a couple days ago in Summer League in Vegas. Justin Jackson has shown me that he doesn't quit. and he doesn't stop, and he fights hard. He battles through. He does have the ability to shoot the basketball and to be a go-to guy on offense for certain situations, and I like to see flashes of that. I still am hesitant to ping him as the starting shooting guard, or sorry, the starting three for the Sacramento Kings, although as of right now, he is, depending upon what they decide to do in free agency or in the trade market. But I really, really liked what Justin Jackson showed in terms of his ability to battle back. He had a great summer league last year, and then once he got to the NBA, to NBA competition, I should say, he struggled a little bit to find an area to make his mark or to make a difference or to execute on the floor. I'm interested to see if he can adapt that and adjust that and be more ready to go and more ready to be a cog in the Sacramento Kings offense by training camp and the start of next season. So we'll have to keep an eye out for that. But coming up next here, I want to talk specifically about the good and bad from the California Classic, the Summer League in general, and just Marvin Bagley in general. That's coming up here on the Locked On Kings podcast. So Marvin Bagley has this amazing dunk in Game 1 of Summer League over Mo Wagner, and everybody is pinging him, including myself, as a brilliant pick, a phenomenal pick. Look at this. Finally, the Kings have a guy. He comes out and he makes a bang, or comes out with a bang immediately. Kings fans are certainly excited. How could you not be? The entire Golden 1 Center was electric for that dunk that he had. And then in games 2 and 3, reality sets in a little bit that he has a lot to work on. We're going to touch on the positives and the negatives, but before we do that, let me say this. I don't think it's a coincidence whatsoever that Marvin Bagley's best game was alongside De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox made Marvin Bagley better in that first game, and I expect De'Aaron Fox and Bogdan Bogdanovic to make Marvin Bagley better on the main NBA roster. Let's dive into some of these weaknesses, and I'll tell you why. I know a lot of fans were worried. I'll tell you why I'm not too worried, although there is legitimate cause for concern. Let's start with the first one. Let's start with the defensive end of the floor. We knew that Marvin Bagley was going to have struggles defensively. We knew that he was going to potentially take a while to develop the skills necessary to become not just a good defender, but a decent defender. His biggest glaring issue, seeing him play in person, his lateral quickness is not very good. He gets blown by, especially when he steps out on the perimeter, a lot. So if he ever does play in the three in a big lineup, or if he ever does play in the four spot against a smaller, quicker stretch four, he might be in trouble because they can blow past him pretty quickly. If I'm any defense or any offense that Marvin Bagley's playing against, I'm trying to set pick and rolls or set screens and switch him onto guards because guards can blow by him really, really quickly. Has also, you can tell just little things about his defensive IQ that he doesn't necessarily recognize, like the right time to rotate or the way to communicate and let players know that either he's got their back or he needs support on his side. There are a couple of glaring moments that I saw in the California Classic of one of the guards or small forward getting beat defensively on the perimeter, and as Bagley should have rotated over to cut off the lane to the basket, he was about a step or two too slow, didn't recognize it in time, and by the time he moved over, he was either called for the foul because all he could do was try and go for the body and prevent an easy basket, or he just had to let the basket go and continue on. So those are two areas. Those are just little things that you can fix. You can adjust. You just need to recognize from communication, from playing with your defense more, and just sharpen things a little bit. And I expect the Sacramento Kings coaching staff to be working with him on that. His vertical quickness was great. And what I mean by that is in the times that he was blown by on the perimeter, he did a great job to recover. He put in that burst of speed, that extra effort to get to the rim and to send some shots back. Marvin Bagley has the length, the size, and the vertical quickness to be an effective shot blocker. Now, if he has 3 or 4 blocks a night but is still giving up 20 points, I wouldn't classify him as a good defender, but the Kings could certainly use that rim protection. I mentioned Harry Giles showing flashes of great defense as well. The two of them working on their defense and continuing to grow together could be potentially very good for the Kings defense going forward. But Marvin Bagley, he's just little steps away, in my opinion, not from being a good defender. He's got a ways to go to be a good defender, but from being a competent defender. And these, again, are things that he can work on with this coaching staff all summer long. But he has what is most important in defense, and he has the ability to be coached, and he has the grit, hustle, and desire to improve. And he emphasized that in his post-game press conferences. He's emphasized that with the Sacramento Kings coaching staff and with his teammates. Marvin Bagley is a workhorse, and so much about defensive success in the NBA is effort. Look how many players are capable of being good defenders, but they just choose not to be. James Harden is the number one guy that comes to mind. He scores so much on the offensive end that he takes plays off defensively. You could say the same thing from time to time about Russell Westbrook. Marvin Bagley has the energy and the hustle and the desire and the will to get better and be good defensively. So I'm excited to see if he can use that, if he can grow, and if he can learn on that area of the floor. Let's switch to his weaknesses on the offensive side. The most glaring one to me was his strength. Marvin Bagley needs to get stronger. Marvin Bagley was struggling to back down shorter guys in the post. Jordan Bell absolutely embarrassed him in the game against the Golden State Warriors. He was really being pushed back against every single athletic, big, and even small forward that he tried to post and go backwards against. They were just shoving him off the block. He never really got himself into the paint. He struggled to establish position because he just didn't have that strength there. That's a glaring issue for me, which is why I expect Marvin Bagley to be in the weight room significantly in the next few months here, trying to put on weight. I don't expect him to come in 10 pounds heavier for training camp, but just getting that strength, especially in the legs, to be able to establish position. And then once he does get position, he has to go up quicker. He's taken too much time in the post. A lot of that is because he's getting shoved away from the basket, and it's making his post moves too predictable. Marvin Bagley loves his left hand. He goes to his left hand every chance he can, and quite frankly, from high school on, AAU, college, everything, no one's ever been able to stop it. So imagine doing something that you've had success with literally your entire career. His left hand offensively is one of the main reasons why he was drafted into the NBA, and he comes into the NBA and into Summer League and immediately smack dab goes right up against the walls of defenders that know how to handle that. It's going to take time to adjust. So those that were frustrated and afraid of the fact that he kept going to his left hand and didn't find a lot of success offensively in games 2 and 3 of Summer League, I encourage you to step back a little bit and allow him the time to approach it, to recognize that it's not always going to work, and he has two options. He can either try to develop the right hand more and be able to go to that at an even amount to where defenders can't just sit on the other side and wait for him to go to that left hand, or he can develop more tricky and a bigger repertoire of post moves to where he can get that left hand open. That's a lot what Zach Randolph made a career out of. Zach Randolph is predominantly uses one hand. But he has such good strength, and he has these post moves that he's developed to where he's able to get open even if defenders know he's going to be using that left hand to score. So I encourage you, when it comes to Marvin Bagley in that area, give him the time that he needs to develop that hand and work with coaching staff on that end of the floor. Now, his strengths on offense were clear. He worked very, very well alongside De'Aaron Fox. He ran the floor amazingly. I was very excited to see him in transition with De'Aaron toe-and-toe, and that's something that I expect to see a lot for the Sacramento Kings offensively with the main roster. Also, in games 2 and 3, when he was working in the post, Justin Jackson was the only shooter on the floor. I'm very anxious and excited to see what Marvin Bagley looks like in the post or in the mid-range game when he has shooters like Buddy Hield, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Justin Jackson, other shooters surrounding him to where they take some of the pressure off him. Every time Marvin Bagley would get the ball either in the post or in an offensive rebound, he was swarmed by defenders, 3 or 4 defenders in the paint at all times against him and Harry Giles, because the Sacramento Kings Summer League team has an obvious lack of ability to shoot the basketball. So that was a concern for me in Summer League that I expect will be easier. A lot of the load will be taken off him when he has more shooters surrounding him in the or with the main roster with the start of the regular season. All in all, with Marvin Bagley, there's a lot of stuff that he needs to work on, stuff that we expected. There are a little some negatives that were concerning for me. His rebounding was another one of them, that it wasn't as explosive as I expected to see. I wouldn't be concerned about his injuries at all. He will be good to go, as we learned that he does have a pelvic bone bruise. He's going to be out for 1 to 2 weeks, which means his Summer League is over, which is a disappointment, but certainly not doom and gloom the end of the world, but that was the news we were waiting for yesterday. Marvin Bagley will be fine. He will be good to go to continue working all summer long, more than ready for training camp and for the start of next season. So Marvin Bagley's summer league is over, some good and some bad, but ultimately I think a lot for Kings fans to be excited about. Time to speed through some of these final topics. Here we'll start with the Zach LaVine news, and we're going to get to this more in detail tomorrow as we talk about more moves that the Kings could potentially be making surrounding either free agency or trades here. The Kings still have that small forward hole to address. We've heard rumors about Marcus Smart. Obviously, what went down with Zach LaVine. We've heard rumors as well about Rodney Hood. There's a lot that the Sacramento Kings could potentially be doing here, and like I said, whether it's trade or free agency signing, I believe that by the end of this week, the Kings will have someone signed. That's not any kind of inside information. That's just a gut feeling here as the Kings seemingly are starting to become more and more active. But let's start about the Zach LaVine stuff. And again, Charles T. Hamilton and I were on KHDK hosting the Grant Napier Show when that news broke, and we were surprised a little bit by the reaction of Kings fans for the money that they threw out there, which was around $18.5 million a year for 4 years. I wasn't surprised about fans not too excited or happy about the dollar amount out there. I said that I didn't want to spend more than $12-13 million for Zach LaVine. So in that case, I'm surprised, or I'm happy that the Chicago Bulls matched. But a lot of Kings fans, when that news broke, there were some that were happy to have LaVine's talent here inside Sacramento, but a lot were not happy because of the price point and also because of the minutes he could be taking away from Buddy Hield or Bogdan Bogdanovic. So ultimately, the Chicago Bulls do match Zach LaVine's offer, and the Kings make away without the shooting guard that allegedly they wanted, although they did do a nice job, I suppose. The optimist in me, here you go. They did do a nice job forcing Chicago to pay potentially a little more than they wanted to for the services of Zach LaVine, but I think it was a no-brainer for Chicago to bring LaVine back based off the fact that he was really the main piece they got in that Jimmy Butler trade, and in order to save face for that trade, which was, in my opinion, a bad trade to begin with. I didn't like that trade for Chicago at all, but they had to save face a little bit from that move by bringing Zach LaVine back. And LaVine's very talented, don't get me wrong. I think he's a great offensive player. If he was here in Sacramento, he would easily be in the top two, top three of scorers and offensive players for the Sacramento Kings. Of course, there's questions about his defense as well, but ultimately that falls through. We'll talk more again tomorrow about Marcus Smart, the Marcus Smart rumors, and about the rumors about Rodney Hood and potential scenarios that I like that the Kings could work in trades to fill that three spot and maybe also pick up a draft pick or two for the future. Again, that is coming up tomorrow. I mentioned LeBron James a couple weeks ago in one of the podcasts. I wrapped it up with my guessing or predicting the destinations of a lot of a lot of free agents, the big name free agents that was, and some I got correct and some I'm expecting to get correct, like for example the Isaiah Thomas to the Orlando Magic, which I think makes so much sense for both sides there. But the one that I got very, very wrong was LeBron James to Los Angeles. I thought that LeBron was going to stay in the Eastern Conference because he was going to want to take an easier route to the NBA Finals, which is why I thought the Philadelphia 76ers made a lot of sense for him. Also, he wanted to go to a place where the ball was out of his hands more, which is also why the 76ers made a whole lot of sense for him. But he elected to head to LA to play for the Los Angeles Lakers, which hurts me as a growing up a Kings fan, hurts me to the core, knowing that LeBron James will be wearing Laker yellow. Although I will say this, and I know it's a very unpopular opinion, but I think the NBA is better and more exciting when the Los Angeles Lakers are good. Ultimately, they signed LeBron, then they signed Rajon Rondo and Lance Stephenson, funny enough. So an interesting core that they're trying to build there. Of course, they've been active in the Kawhi Leonard sweepstakes, which may cost them a good chunk, if not the majority, of their young core, including Ingram or Kuzma or even Lonzo Ball. We'll have to wait and see what they do there. But I was surprised, I guess, even though so many expected LeBron to go to Los Angeles, it seemed like first and foremost a family move. We heard that his son, Bronny, was going and playing basketball in Los Angeles already. We've known for a while that he has a house there as well. So it doesn't surprise me, I suppose, in that sense, that LeBron decided to stay there. And if you want a market that can add good players in a hurry and try and make a run for the NBA Finals, that's, I guess, a great market to do it. However, he's got a big hill to climb in the Houston Rockets, who seemingly are close to signing Carmelo Anthony here. And most importantly, the Golden State Warriors. So if you were to ask me, this team right now with LeBron on it, are they good enough to beat the Warriors? The answer is clearly no, not even close, especially after the Marcus Cousins signing. We're going to talk about that in more detail tomorrow. I don't have enough time here to dive into everything there, but I'm going to speak on DeMarcus Cousins going to the Golden State Warriors tomorrow because, believe it or not, I love this move for DeMarcus, and I love this move for the Warriors. I think it was brilliant by both sides. So that's coming up soon as well. All of that coming up tomorrow. I also want to let you know, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Charles T. Hamilton and I will be filling in on The Drive, which is the morning show on KHDK from 6 to 9 a.m. We will be with Kyle Madsen on Thursday and Friday. And if you want, actually you should download the KHDK app, or if you're in the greater Sacramento area, tune your radios to AM 1140. So you can check that out. A lot of what we're talking about here on the podcast this week and last week will go into more detail there in that 3-hour time slot. You can also call in and be a part of the show there as well if you would like. We would love to see you there and talk to you there. More great podcast content coming this week. We're not taking a day off in between. Another one is coming tomorrow, so be sure to stay tuned for that. I appreciate everybody who I got to meet and speak with at the California Classic. So many of you that I got to meet face-to-face. Thank you all for taking the time to listen to this podcast and for coming to the California Classic, being a part of what was a very, very fun and exciting event, something that I hope the Sacramento Kings do more and more in the future. A brilliant idea by the NBA to keep fans engaged, excited, add more summer league games, and what better place to put it than Sacramento, that had a bunch of big rookie names that the fans were excited to see. And also, we know how much of a basketball town this is here in Sactown. Everybody was going to watch no matter what. So turnout was great. I was very pleased and happy to see so many Kings fans in there having a good time for basketball in July, of all things. So we will take the break for now and see you tomorrow. My name is Matt George. Thank you, everybody, for joining me, and more on the horizon coming up here very soon. This is the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.